It's time again to welcome you to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to welcome you to our program today, and as your host for today's program, I'm so glad that you've joined us. The More Abundant Life features the music ministry and the spoken word ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today we have the continuation of a message that Pastor Phipps began in a previous program. If you heard part one of the story of David and Bathsheba, you want to stay tuned and listen to this program, because in this program, Pastor Phipps will conclude that message. It was an exciting message. It was a very interesting message. And there are many, many lessons that we can learn from the story of David and Bathsheba. So stay tuned here on The More Abundant Life. Just before we get to our message, as usual, here is a special song, a classic from Pastor Wintley Phipps, a song entitled, I Give You My Life.
I give to you my life. Please
That's music by Wintley Phipps here on The More Abundant Life. The song is entitled I Give You My Life. It's a classic from Wintley Phipps. In fact, it's one of the first songs that Pastor Phipps ever recorded. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program, and the message that is prepared for us today is going to begin now. Part two of the message on David and Bathsheba. Here's Pastor Phipps.
2 Samuel chapter 11, Bible says, and in verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. She came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. After the night of lust and passion, David returned Bathsheba to her house like a library book he had checked out. Got it back before the penalties and charges. Even in these inflationary times, somebody says, sin still pays the same wages. The wages of sin is still death. A few days later, about a month later, Bathsheba conceived, sent and told David, I'm with child. I'm pregnant. David was frozen with fear. He knew it would be only a matter of weeks before Uriah would be home, and he knew that his friend Uriah knew how to count. Huh? Something had to be done. Done fast. So David also knew that the penalty for adultery in Israel was not shame. The penalty of adultery was for both offending parties to be stoned to death. So the more he thought about it, God's telling me, take my time this morning. The more he thought about it, David began to realize the serious implications of those few hours of pleasure. He began to realize that this sin could cost him his marriages, his ministry, his throne, his reputation, even his very life. He realizes too late that the moment he saw Bathsheba bathing, he should have run. But as someone once said, hindsight is 20/20. When David should have been out on the battlefield, he was on the roof. Bored. Sin usually starts, church, when you're out of place. Sin usually starts when you're not where you're supposed to be. David was not where he was supposed to be. And often sins of omission are prelude to sins of commission. For David, the sin of omission was he stayed home rather than go to war. He was out of place and he was vulnerable. He was out of place. So young people, when you're supposed to be in school, be in school. When you're out of place, you're vulnerable. Are you with me today? When your mama and daddy send you to a certain place, go there and only there, because when you're out of place, you're vulnerable. David said, he concocted a plan. He sent word to Joab, send me Uriah. Uriah came to him. David said, Uriah, how goes the war? Oh, things are well, O king. How is Joab and the troops anyway? Oh, their morale is great, king. Well, I just wanted to get a report from you, Uriah. Good to have you back. I understand Bathsheba really misses you. Why don't you go home, take a few days off, kick up your feet, have a good time, enjoy your wife, if you know what I mean. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 8, when Uriah departed out of the king's house, the king sent a gift to follow Uriah home. The Bible says, there followed Uriah a mess of meat from the king, a gift. David wanted Uriah and Bathsheba to have a romantic feast, and he was supplying the menu. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11:9, instead Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the king. He didn't go home. In the morning when they told David Uriah didn't go home, David said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? What's wrong with you, man? Go home. Why did you not go home? That's the first place you should have gone. Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah dwell in booths. My lord Joab and the servants of my lord, they're camping out in the open field. What shall I then go to my house, eat and drink, lie with my wife? As you live, O king, as your soul lives, I will not do that. Church, the very thing Uriah would not do, David knew that he himself had done. So David tried again. This time he threw a party at his place, invited Uriah, and sent him home drunk. Boy, the word of God is awesome. You know that? Sent Uriah home drunk. Surely a drunk man would crave the physical affection of his woman. Again, Uriah refused to sleep at home and slept instead with the king's servants. Brothers and sisters, a drunk Uriah had more integrity than a sober David. Are you listening to me? A drunk Uriah had more integrity, more self-control than a sober David. The next morning, David sent Uriah back to the front lines with a diplomatic pouch for General Joab, and the message simply read, put Uriah into the battle where the fighting is the heaviest, and then withdraw so that he would be killed. Uriah didn't even realize that he was going back. He was handing to Joab his own death warrant. Joab changed the plan a little bit. He felt that Uriah was being killed alone, and that would be too suspicious. So listen carefully. Joab assigned some of David's best soldiers to fight with Uriah against an overwhelming enemy. And the Bible says that that day, many, many of the servants of David died along with Uriah. So what began as a peeping Tom incident kept escalating. Sin is like that. Are you with me? Sin is like that. It just kept escalating until it ended with murder. But now David was not just guilty of adultery, he was guilty of multiple murder, because on that day of battle, wives lost their husbands, mothers lost their children, because a king was trying to cover up his sin. When Bathsheba found out that her husband was dead, she mourned. When the time of mourning was over, David sent and brought Bathsheba to his house, married her. She bore him a son. David thought he had covered his tracks, thought he was home free. But you know, the Bible says in Numbers 32:23 that sin has its own detective agency. Did you know that's what the Bible says? It says, be sure your sin has its own detective agency. Be sure your sin will find you out. You never get away with it. There are always consequences, and God sent Nathan the prophet to expose David. Nathan was not just a prophet to David, he was a friend of David. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When David saw the Nathan there, Nathan said, I've got to tell you of an incident. And you know, he told David of two men in a certain city, one rich, one poor. Rich man had many flocks. The poor one had nothing but a little pet lamb. He raised it, grew it. It ate with him and his children, ate food, drank from his cup. And there came a traveler to the rich man. He was unwilling to take one of his own flock to prepare a meal. And so he took the poor man's pet lamb, prepared it for the man who had come to visit. When David heard that, he was incense. That's an awful thing to do. How could a man do such a thing? Give me his name. I'll deal with him. David didn't see what was coming. Oh, the Lord. The Lord will set you up. The next thing he knew, Nathan pointed his long bony finger and said, David, you're the man. What do you mean I'm the man? God says, I anointed you king over Israel. I gave you your master's house, gave you everything you needed. Everything to make you happy. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have smitten Uriah, taken his wife. David buried his face in his hands as he listened to the four-part judgment God pronounced upon him. Four judgments. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. David didn't get just one judgment. He didn't get two judgments. He didn't get three judgments. He got how many? Four. Four judgments. You'll find it there. In that chapter, first part, God said, the sword shall never depart from your house. And all of David's sons were killed tragically. Have mercy. One was slain by his own brother. Absalom was slain by Joab, the same one who David used to kill Uriah. Woo! Part two in verse 11. Behold, I will raise up, God says, part two of the judgment, I'll raise up evil against you out of your own house. And from that day forward, David's family was messed up. David's family history began to read like a messed up soap opera. Family members full of hate, incest, greed, murder. The third part of the judgment, I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. That judgment was fulfilled, listen, in the rebellion of Absalom, David's son. When Absalom forced David into exile, Absalom, David's sons, took his father's 10 wives to the roof of his house and violated them. And then the fourth and final judgment, the child that shall be born to you in Bathsheba shall die. Well, my question this morning is, how did a man like that who had done all that evil end up in God's faith hall of fame? Now that is the question. How could a man responsible for so much pain, so much sorrow, so much disgrace end up being honored by the Lord in Hebrews 11? Well, it happened because David didn't make it to this hall of fame because of his talent for writing psalms and hymns. No one is going to make it into heaven on talent. Yes, David was talented, but that talent meant nothing when it came to his salvation. David made into God's Faith Hall of Fame because of his courage and humility to come before the Lord with great repentance. It was through repentance that David sought forgiveness, and his faith in God's forgiveness was much greater than the sin he had committed. Church, the faith to repent is the faith to believe that in spite of all you have done, God is going to be willing to accept you, take you back. What does repentance mean? Now, I want you to stay with me. Repentance is when you realize that the way you've chosen is not God's way. Repentance is when you choose to go to the Father believing he'll take you back. You admit you've sinned. You recognize your unworthiness. Repentance is not penance. It is not you paying a price for your sin. What is repentance? Repentance is more than you just being sorry for your sin. It's more than the crocodile tears that people shed when they get caught. Are you with me today? Repentance is more than confession. It's more than just confessing your sin. That is not what repentance is all about. Repentance is a change. Metanoia. So it is a U-turn on the highway of life. Are you with me today? Repentance is not one single act. It is a way of life. It's not something you do once. Someone said it this way. Repentance must include repentance of the fruits of sin and of the roots of sin. See, many of us, God said, just preach, son. Many of us repent before God for the fruits of sin, and we forget to repent for the roots of sin. Repentance for the roots of sin is ongoing. You'll always have to do that till Jesus comes. And the roots of sin are unbelief and pride and stubbornness. David understood the difference between the fruits and the roots of sin. David knew that the root was not what he did, it was what he was. David knew he was a sinner. The roots of sin are what you are. The fruits of sin are what you do. Wake up today. Are you with me? The fruits of sin are what you are. The roots of sin are what you are. Come on. The roots of sin are what you are. The fruits of sin are what you do. And to repent, you must not just repent of the fruits of sin. You've got to go before God and say, I am a one awful person, Jesus. Down on the inside. I am one awful individual. I hate what I am. I am a sinner. And God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then will I, what, hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Servant of the Lord says, repentance is the first step that must be taken by all who would return to God. So if you ever want to get back to God, you got to go through the door of repentance. Amen. Now, repentance, how can I say this today before I leave you today? Everybody's got to take that step who wants to go to heaven. Amen. It is an intense hatred for sin. Repentance is one of the first fruits of the saving grace. Now, how could it be that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart when he did all of this? You ever hear people say that? Yeah, he committed adultery, but he was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 51. I'm going to tell you why David made it into God's faith hall of fame. Because he had the courage and the humility to pray this prayer. Read it with me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Those are the words of a repentant man who went from being an adulterer to ending up in God's faith Hall of Fame.
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today, and just about to the end of the program for today also. We heard the conclusion of the story of David and Bathsheba today, part two of that message. And if you would like to obtain an audio copy of that message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And please refer to program number 254, which will give you the title David and Bathsheba, Part 2. That's program number 254. Well, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings for the week. Please join us, though, again for another program. But until you can, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart. Feel-